Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, we'll talk to Bill Lasky, former Giants pitcher and now analyst on NBC Sports Bay Area and talk show host on KNBR 680. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Bill, you've had a chance to check out the Giants really closely, analyzing them for NBC Sports Bay Area. That homestand was pretty good. I mean, they're playing a lot better baseball here in the month of June to have a winning record. You know, they're making some comebacks. Their offense is showing signs of life, which they really didn't have the first couple of months of the season. So do you see this as a good trend that could continue with this ball club?
Well, Joe, I tell you what, starting this homestand, you had three against L.A., you had two against San Diego, then three against Milwaukee, and it could have easily went the opposite way. But as you said, they were 5-3 on a homestand. They took two from San Diego, two from Milwaukee out of three games. And what they really did is some of those games they played catch-up. They were behind, and they ended up coming back. And a couple good games against Milwaukee, the Friday and Saturday games, were really good. Yesterday they were entertaining. They had bases loaded, nobody out, only scored one run. So the opportunity to sweep the Brewers were definitely there. But I really believe the offense is coming around. Kevin Pillar is hot as hell, and Brandon Belt's got a nice hitting streak and on base percentage streak going. So this could be a positive. But again, you're going to 4 in L.A., 3 against Arizona, and both those teams are playing good baseball.
Oh, they really are. I'm glad you mentioned Pillar, because I'm curious what you think about, you know, having some spark plugs on your team. When you don't have a bunch of guys hitting like the Dodgers are, you know, 300 hitters with 20-plus home runs and all that, you need some spark plugs, and it seems like Pillar is that one guy or one of the few guys on the team that really can spark you. He doesn't have a high batting average, but he seems to come through in the clutch, and, you know, you're just looking for that. You're looking for the energy, you know, like what Yastrzemski gave them as well, you know, that home run he hit and the diving catch that he made. So players are, you know, performing that way. It seems like it's a big deal right now.
I believe so too. And, you know, Pillar's that kind of guy where he gets two strikes and shortens his swing down just to get the ball in play. And he made a couple nice swings on a nice slider away where he pushed to right field and got jammed and had enough muscle on the ball off the bat to get it into left field. So those are key hits. And you see him in a batting order, 6th, 7th, 8th. I think that's where a perfect place he is, with Yastrzemski and Panic at the top against right-handers. I think that gels pretty good. But the middle of the order, Posey's coming back from the IL. He needs to start hitting a little bit better. And Crawford had one good game against the Brewers where he was 3-for-4. But, boy, he's struggling. He's right around the 200 average. And he's the bat they really need to get going in that lineup.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, you look at those numbers for guys like Crawford and Posey, and it's just hard to believe they just haven't really gotten their season going. And, yeah, Posey, you know, he's been on the injured list. He had the concussion, and then he also got on the injured list a second time. So what is it going to take for guys like that? And, you know, you see that Brandon Belt has started to get it going. He's been getting on base a lot. That's something that he usually does. But it looks like he's starting to, you know, really kind of figure it out. What do you think that Crawford and Posey need to do?
Well, better at bats. I think sometimes they overswing. You saw Posey miss a couple fastballs, and then he gets a slider away, and he didn't pick it up. It strikes out. Yesterday, Craw hit a couple balls real well, but then he strikes out, and the 0-for-4 comes right back to haunt him after he gets three hits. But you have to be consistent. You got to continue to keep building. When you're in a hole that far, and you're middle of June, it's one or two hits each game. And that's what they have to start nailing with these veteran players as they do. And, You know, you look at Longoria. Longoria's had some stretches where he's had some hot streaks, hit a nice triple yesterday. But those are the veteran hitters that aren't doing their job. And when you look at guys of that magnitude in this lineup, they have to produce. And if two of them produce in a game, they're going to win those games. But when you get all three of them not producing, and you're depending on the Duggars and the Pilars and Yastrzemskis to try to pull it out, it's not going to happen.
On the pitching side, how about Drew Pomerantz? His ERA was up over 8. He had that disastrous start in Baltimore. You know, it just looked like he was really struggling to try to find answers. And then he changes his arm slot. And tell us that, Bill. I mean, as a former pitcher in the major leagues, how hard would that be in the middle of the season to make a change? I mean, it sounds pretty drastic to me to change an arm slot in the middle of the year. What did you notice about him that improved his performance?
Well, I think the arm slot is overrated. I think all he did, Joe, was he got his arm up a little higher, which it's made the fastball get a little more pop. The curveball's a 12-6. He's got one of the best curveballs in baseball, and he's throwing a changeup a little bit more, and I think that is a third pitch helps out because as a hitter, all you're looking for is gas and then a hook. So now you got a little changeup, and that's why his last two starts, he's got through 5 innings. I thought he threw the ball really well his first game back against the Dodgers. I thought that was a huge game for him. And he went up against Kershaw and ended up beating him. That was the first start. And then his last start, got a couple long innings, but still hung on for 5 innings. And he gave up 2 unearned runs. So these are good points for him. And, you know, when you look at the rotations of other teams that are winning, some starters, they're only going 5 innings. And if that can be the key point for Pomerantz to continue to pitch like this, let him go 5 and dive. Who cares? But he's putting zeros on the board, and he's keeping the Giants in these games where earlier in the year he was getting destroyed in the first 3 innings, and it was just too tough to catch up.
Pomerantz is going to pitch in the third game of the series in L.A. against the Dodgers, and it's pretty interesting to look at the pitching matchups, starting with Monday with Tyler Beede going up against Kenta Maeda. And Beede is a guy that, you know, when we saw him in the minor leagues, he had so much promise, and then he sort of lost his way there a little bit. And, you know, when he came up to the major leagues last year, he just couldn't throw strikes, and then it seemed like this year, Bill, that he was throwing too many strikes. He was getting hit around. What do you think he needs to do to be successful? He's definitely getting the strikeouts. What else has to happen?
Well, I think his last game against San Diego was a true test because in New York, he only went 5 innings. He struggled with command, gave up 6 runs, 5 were earned, gave up 2 home runs in the 1 inning. I think it was the 5th inning. And then he starts San Diego at home, and the first pitch he throws, Tatis hits a home run, and he's tested right off the bat in the first inning, but he settled down. And one of the things that I'm generating for tonight's game is he's throwing pitches out of the zone, finally, and he's getting people to chase on him. That's what he didn't do. He did it in Miami, threw a real good game in Miami, but before that, he was throwing too many strikes.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati game, he got pounded in the first inning. It was 0-1, 0-2 on every hitter, and he didn't know what to do. And now I think he's learning that, hey, I can throw a curveball out of the zone and get him to chase. I can throw a cutter off the corner and get him to chase. And his last game, he had 7 strikeouts against San Diego. So I think that game there taught him, I can do this with my 3 pitches that I throw, which is an above-average fastball, 94, 95, and a good curveball biting, and his changeup, which I think is a really solid pitch for him. And he's really, you know, cut those 3 pitches as his primary pitches. He's trying to throw a slider again and maybe a cutter here and there, but nothing to the flavor of an overpowering fastball that he has. And I really thought that was a good game for him. Of course, in the 5th inning, a couple infield hits that just didn't go his way, walked a guy, and the next thing he was out of the game. And they ended up winning the game. He got a no decision. But still, I thought he threw the ball much better that game. And the New York game, it just looked like he just was unglued. He just didn't know what to throw when he got in trouble. He got 3-0, 3-1, 2-0, too many accounts favorable for the hitter in that 5th inning, and he got pulled.
We'll have more with Bill Lasky right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right, just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Well, Tyler Beattie, hopefully he's a big part of the Giants' future on the mound. And the same thing with Sean Anderson, who's going to start the second game of the series against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. That's on Tuesday. And, you know, Sean Anderson, it's interesting to think about him at the University of Florida being a closer. And I think it's pretty unusual that you have a guy who was a closer become a really good starter. I mean, there aren't that many Dave Rigettis around the world that can, you know, kind of bounce back and forth between being that one-inning guy and being a starter. But he looks like he's well-equipped and maybe a really good find for the Giants after they traded for him from the Red Sox in that Eduardo Nunez deal. What do you think about Anderson so far?
Well, so far, he's been lights out. He went to Double-A last year and had a pretty good year. Went to Triple-A and struggled in Triple-A in Sacramento the second half of the year. He really didn't throw favorable at all, and everybody was wondering what's going on. Well, I think the jump just kind of got him eager, and he was just too much too quick. And then this year, he went to spring training, had a good spring training, went to big league camp for a little bit, got the flavor of the big leagues, and he knew he could do it from there. He pitched in an Oakland game in the Bay Bridge series, and he threw the ball well. So he started in AAA and ended up getting seven starts down there, and he was 2-1. Threw the ball real well, had a good break on the ball, had a good fastball. And when they brought him up, I think he was just, okay, I'm here now, what am I going to do? And his first couple starts, five innings, and he just didn't grasp what he had to do. He was there, and his presence was there. But his last three starts, San Diego, he went six innings. The Mets, he went six innings. Baltimore, he went seven innings. Three quality starts. And each one of those games, he was tested. In Baltimore, I thought he threw the ball real well. In New York, gave up two home runs to the first two hitters of the game. And he was tested right from there. And he ended up throwing a good game, went six innings. And in San Diego, against San Diego, I thought he threw the ball very well again. He went six innings, only giving up four hits in that game. But again, his strikeouts are starting to come up a little bit more. The home run ball, he's going to hit a couple of them off of them. But I think now he's understanding, I can pitch up here. And what I like about this game on Tuesday, he knows he's going up against Clayton Kershaw. So he's going to be rested. He's going to be psyched. He's going to be emotionally ready because he knows he's going to have to match zeros with Clayton Kershaw. And as a rookie, that's what you want to do. He's going out there first. And when I was a rookie, that was a big thing Don McMahon used to say to me. He was my pitching coach. Match zeros with the opposition. Mm-hmm. When you're a visiting player, you have to match zeros. If the pitcher goes out there, Kershaw throws a zero, I have to put a zero on the board. If you can match that and stop the crooked number, then you're going to throw a good game against their ace, just like Pomeranz did with Kershaw in that Friday night game here. He went out there, put zeros on the board, and hit Kershaw had to match him. And sure enough, they got two runs off him, and that was enough. So Anderson and Beattie both. Beattie tonight, too, against Maeda, who was fabulous at home. I was just looking at these numbers. 5-0 with five starts in L.A. He gets beat up on the road. His numbers at home are really good, 1.6. So he likes L.A. Dodger Stadium, for one thing, and he pitches well there. So Tyler Beattie's going to have to do the same thing. If I'm their pitching coach, I'd be saying both of these rookies, match zeros. Don't worry about going five or six or seven innings. Match zeros and keep your team in this game.
Yeah, definitely hard to do against that Dodgers lineup, and they play so well.
Dodger lineup hot too, Joe.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially Bellinger. He's having an MVP-type season just like Yelich is. He was great in that series against the Giants. And, you know, last time we had on the podcast, Bill, we were talking about Madison Bumgarner possibly getting traded, and we both agree we'd hate to see the big guy go, but it just seems inevitable now. This might be the last time we see him pitch against the Dodgers, and I feel like sort of like it's the calm before the storm right now. We haven't seen that many roster moves lately like we did the first 2 months of the season, but I feel like there's going to be some trades happening. Bumgarner, probably Will Smith, who's 18 for 18 on save opportunities. How do you react to that as a player when you just know, I mean, as a teammate, you know that a couple of these guys are probably going soon?
you react just like what you said. You can't do anything about it. Of course, Bumgarner threw his team that he didn't want to get traded to, but they can still trade for him, but he has to accept the trade. You heard over the weekend when we were working together at NBC, the Minnesota Twins coming out with an early article saying, don't be surprised if Madison Bumgarner is not going to be in a Minnesota Twin uniform. You're going to start hearing stuff like this because I think the beat writers are hearing it, and they're hearing things that these teams need, just like the Dodgers need bullpen arms. And I wonder if there will be a trade of a Will Smith or a Dyson to help the Dodgers out. Of course, we know Fahim Zaidi knows the Dodger organization so well, and he knows kind of pick some of the top rookies in there. So that might be a flavor for the Giants to do that, but you sure don't want to strengthen the Dodgers in an interleague trade. San Diego's another team. Maybe Yates is going to be traded. He's a top pick as their closer. So there are going to be some names flying. Today, Scherzer's name being thrown around with the Nationals. There are going to be some big moves, no doubt about it. There's going to be some salaries being moved. You hear the Mariners talking about anybody that's got a big salary, we want to trade them. So, you know, top teams are going to pick who they want. There's no doubt. The lower tier teams are going to have to really make some good deals. And as you and I both said, Madison Bumgarner's a big name in this Giants organization, and you and I will both be sad when he leaves because I love watching him pitch. I love the competitor in him, and he sure has put the Giants in the word favorable baseball teams in the past few years.
Yeah, I love that competitiveness of him as well. And, you know, a lot of times in today's world of professional sports, you don't see sort of the hatred for the rival team as much in a lot of ways. I mean, a lot of guys just get along. But Bumgarner, I mean, he's going to compete. He's going to get nasty. He's going to be mad if you try to show him up at all. And, you know, I wanted to go back a little bit to when you were pitching, Bill, and you were pitching against the Dodgers, and you know that the fans are hating on each other. But did you take a little bit of the rivalry into the game, or how did you make that work for you, or could it work against you sometimes if there's too much adrenaline?
Joe, there's no doubt about it. When we were back in play, and you circled the dates when the Dodgers were in town or when you had to go to L.A., it wasn't hatred. It was a rivalry. There was emotion. There was a calm before the storm. All the great one-liners, you could say, when you went on that mound, you knew what you were going against. And, of course, Tommy Lasorda in the other dugout was chirping from the first pitch you threw, and everybody else, you know, Frank Robinson was in our dugout chirping too. So the rivalry was live when we were in the 80s. And, you know, some of the players that I've talked to in recent years, we all loved it. And, you know, I had Ron Say on radio the other day, and Ron Say goes, I would just love to get us all in one room, both sides, and bring up some of the things we did in those rivalries, because it would be great talk radio or even conversation that you could put on television, because those were some great games. There, Fernando Valenzuela, Jerry Royce, Bob Welch, you know, some of the pitchers that I went up against, and 2-1 ball games, 1-0 ball games, and one pitch deciding a series or a game, and those were fun. And we're going to see it the next 4 days, because the Giants have played the Dodgers the best of any National League team, and hopefully they can go down there and surprise them a little bit.
Hopefully. All right, to finish up, you told a great story on NBC Sports Bay Area on Sunday, Father's Day, about your dad and how you got him the jersey. If you could retell that a little bit. I thought that was really cool. I mean, everybody has a Father's Day story, but yours was special.
Well, when my dad grew up, he was 100% Polish, and his last name, well, his first name was Zygmunt. Everybody called him Ziggy. Zygmunt Leszczynski, which is 11 letters, full 100% Polish. Well, when he was dating my mom was full Greek, and her last name was Poulos. Her dad owned a couple full Greek restaurants, and he was 100% Greek. Well, when they were dating, when they started getting serious, my mom said, well, I don't know about Leszczynski. My dad is really pretty solid about having a Greek last name. And you're talking 1940s, where the female had to take the male's last name. So when they went to ask my mom's dad to marry him, he said, I have no problem you marrying my daughter, but she is not going to take a full Polish name. So they had to go to the courts. and they were looking through names, and a name change of half Polish and half Greek, which turned out to be Lasky. And L-A-S was Polish, and K-E-Y was the Polish or the Greek name. So as baseball started and I started learning about my dad and my mom over the first 10, 15 years of my life, my dad would tell the story, you were going to be Leshinsky. Your last name is really Leshinsky. So as I got into baseball, the jerseys came out with Lasky on the back. And 1983, I came back and did a baseball clinic from a high school because I wanted to generate some money for their program. And so I brought Eddie Milner, Jim Leland, who lived in Perrysburg, came, Tom O'Malley, Pat Sheridan. I had seven guys up there that were in the big leagues that I knew very well. And there was my dad sitting at the end, and everybody had their jersey on, all the different teams. I had my Giants jersey, and here my dad was sitting there with this Giants hat, and he kept asking me, where's my jersey? And I go, oh, don't worry, I'll surprise you, don't worry. So as I introduced the whole lineup I had, the last name I brought was my dad, and I said, as everybody knows, my dad's not wearing a jersey, and I want him to come up. So as he came up, I just said, Dad, you know, I know your last name was Leshinsky, and Mike Murphy, who helped me do it, I had a jersey made, same size and everything, with number 19 that I wore, and I had Leshinsky, which was 11 letters from one armpit to the other armpit. And he wore it everywhere, Joe. He wore it to Cincinnati when we came, Pittsburgh. He brought it to Candlestick, and he was wearing it all over, Leshinsky. And, of course, my dad died in 2011. He was 94 years old. And my mom, at the day, she came up to me and gave me the jersey and said this was one of the best days of his life. He loved it. He loved me recognizing his original name. And to do that and to honor him, I thought yesterday on TV was a good time to throw it out there, and it turned out really well. I had a lot of people hit me up on it, and they were calling me Leshinsky, and I'm like, no. I was little Ziggy for a while because my dad's name was Zygmunt, and I said, no, I'll keep Lasky. I'm fine with that. But it was a good story. It was really fun to bring up and to honor my dad, who's passed since 2011. It was something special for me to do yesterday.
Yeah, you got me beat by one letter, by the way. I've got 10 letters.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that, too.
and my dad, the best memory I have as far as baseball is that he coached my Little League team only 1 year, and we won the championship. There's always something baseball-related with a dad, it seems, for people like us, right?
It sure does. And, you know, my dad was a boxer in the Navy, and he wanted me to box. And my mom's like, he's not going to box, eh? You know? But my brother, who was older than me, was a real good tennis player. He still plays a lot of tennis, and that was one sport he loved. And, you know, baseball was something that I just grew into and did it myself. And my dad would always play catch until I got into high school, and he goes, I can't catch you anymore. And some of those things you just remember, and, you know, but my mom and dad were at every game, and they supported me all the way through the big leagues, and just really, really enjoyed both of them. Both my parents have passed, but you remember those things on Mother's Day and Father's Day, and it was a good story yesterday, and thanks for letting me bring it up again.
Yeah, Bill, thanks so much for the time. Look forward to seeing you on NBC Sports Bay Area during this Dodgers series. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always good seeing you, Joe, and thanks again for bringing me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
That's Bill Lasky. Join us again next week. We'll be talking about the Giants road trip to L.A. and Arizona. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.